May God's grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. What brings you joy? Just think about that for a second. What is it in your life that causes you to have joy? Maybe I can word it slightly differently. What is the source of your joy? Where does your joy come from? Now, there's certainly as many possible answers to these questions as there are people in this room, and then even more after that. The list could just go on and on and on. What it is that brings you joy could be any number of things. It could be your spouse, your children, your house, your car, your job, maybe the paycheck that comes with it. If you can't easily think of an answer to that question, then how about this? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the word joy? Now, for me personally, I can't hear the word joy. I can't think of this word without also thinking of the beautiful Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And it's a great hymn, and I think we could very easily sing it this time of the year. Now, I know it's technically the wrong church season for that, don't worry. But why not? Why not now, especially today on Palm Sunday? At Christmas, we sing Joy to the World because the Lord has come. Because Jesus has come at Christmas. He is born to us. But in Lent, in Holy Week, on Palm Sunday, joy to the world, the Lord has come, our King has come. We rejoice with all the people in Jerusalem as they have celebrated the coming of the King. But I think for some of us, there are two very different reasons why we celebrate that coming. In fact, I would argue that there were some of the people in Jerusalem who lined the streets that day that really missed the point of Jesus' triumphal entry. Now, in order to explain that, I have to ask another question. What is it that the Jews were looking for? What did they hope for in their promised Messiah, in their Savior, in their King? To put it simply, they weren't really looking for Jesus. They were looking for a triumphant, a war king to drive the Romans out of Israel, to give Israel back to the Israelites, to free them from Roman rule. What they were not looking for was a man who preached peace, who told his followers to love their enemies and pray for their persecutors. They weren't looking for a man who touched those unclean lepers and hung out with sinners. But this man, this king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a colt, he was supposed to be the guy. This was him. This was their Savior. So Jesus' coming certainly gave them great joy, but maybe not for the right reasons. See, their joy, for some of them, was misplaced. They were looking for joy in the triumphant king for the wrong reasons. And you know full well from the rest of the story that their cries of rejoicing turned not too long after into cries of hate, cries of crucify him. So like those Israelites, what happens when we seek our joy, when we place the source of our joy in the wrong place? Really, I think what it comes down to is a difference then between joy and happiness. As you may have read in the Word for Wednesday this past week, I personally have always equated these two. They go hand in hand. It's a package deal. If you have joy, you have happiness. Boom, that's how it works. Well, what I learned as I read, and what you may have also learned as I read, is that they really don't have to be the same thing. They don't have to come as a package deal. See, happiness is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's dependent on certain conditions being met. And therefore, it can be temporary. I want you to remember a time when you were at a restaurant, any restaurant, could be your favorite, could be not. And you're sitting there making small talk with the people at your table. and you've already ordered your food, and all of a sudden you see the server coming from the kitchen with a tray, and that looks like your food. And it's just so exciting. I personally, maybe not, you get so happy when I see my food coming at the restaurant. That's a great feeling of joy, at least temporary happiness for me. But it passes. Eventually, the food's gone, even if you have leftovers. It might last a little bit longer. But eventually, that happiness is gone. But joy, real joy, not just a feeling of happiness, is unconditional. Real joy, then, can be constant. The very way that we live our lives as Christians can be a life of joy. Now, interestingly enough, the way that Randy Frazee writes in our Believe chapter for this week makes it sound like joy could be something else sometimes. Joy can look like contentment. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He goes on to say, I can do all things, all this through him who strengthens me. Paul learned the secret of being content. He learned how to have joy no matter the circumstances. In our Old Testament reading for today, we see the Israelites gathering together after the wall around Jerusalem has been rebuilt, and they're preparing for a celebration. Nehemiah calls for the book of the law to be brought out and read to the people, and Ezra, the priest, reads it. And as he is reading from the book of the law to all of the people gathered in the square, the people began to weep. As they are hearing God's law read to them, they weep. They weep for regret. They weep because they know their shortcomings. They weep for their inability to keep this law. The Israelites, for some of them, their source of joy was themselves. In their ability to keep God's law, to fulfill his commandments, and when this fell short, there was no joy to be found. See, when you look for joy in yourself and your own works, your source is misplaced. But what Nehemiah has told the Israelites so many years ago is still a great reminder for us today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, church, for Paul, for the Israelites, and for all of us here as Christians, the true source of joy can be found in one place and one place alone, through God, who gives us strength. No matter our circumstances, the great love of our Heavenly Father who provides for all our needs can give us great joy. The truth that Paul knew is the truth that Martin Luther knew and expanded upon in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, that God richly and daily provides us with all we need to support this body and life. Out of his fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. What joy in knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who provides for our needs solely out of his love for us. Now the truth that Nehemiah knew is that true joy cannot be found in ourselves but in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. And really the joy of the Lord is twofold. It's both the joy that the Lord gives us, the joy that can only be found in the Lord and what he has done for us, what he continues to do for us. But it's also the joy that God himself has. But first, like the Israelites, if we try to find joy in ourselves, in our works, in the things that we do, in our lives, our accomplishments, we'll only end up sorely disappointed. I'm sure you know just as well as I do that money can disappear quickly as it shows up in your bank account. Jobs can be lost. Cars break down. Spouses and children can sometimes get sick. And arguments can happen. And there's no joy in those. All of these things that can sometimes bring us joy or that temporary happiness can and will let us down. But if we follow Paul's example, we can see that the only constant source of joy, the only source that will never let us down or disappoint us, can be found in God himself. In God who provides everything we need for both our earthly and our spiritual lives. But the second part, the joy that the Lord has for us, even God himself experiences joy. Our epistle lesson, Hebrews 12, tells us this about Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. This verse used to be so confusing to me. What joy could there possibly be in such a horrific, terrible death like the cross? What joy can be found there? Now, one of my favorite Bible verses, Luke 12:32, answers this question. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus endured the cross for the joy of bringing people to him. Jesus knew that his sacrifice, no matter how horrible, how terrible, how painful it was, he knew that it was entirely worth it for the joy of giving you his kingdom. See, our joy, our only true source of joy is found in Jesus Christ. But Jesus found his joy in us. See, we are the joy of the Lord, but we've also been given the joy of the Lord, and that joy is our strength. That joy is the strength to be content no matter our circumstances. It was the joy of Jesus to leave the glory of heaven to come down to this little planet, to be born in a lowly manger in a dark cave, to live the unglamorous life of a carpenter's son, to ride into Jerusalem as our king on a donkey, to suffer and die for us, all to save us that we might come into his kingdom. And today, on Palm Sunday, we see the beginning of that joy set before him. We see Jesus willingly and lovingly enter the city where he knows that he'll be dying as an innocent man. We see Jesus surrounded by crowds with people who might have misunderstood him and his ultimate mission. Crowds that cried out, Hosanna, save us. Crowds that were disappointed when their joy was unfulfilled in this Messiah. And crowds that sadly missed the true point of the real joy that rode in front of them on that day. The true joy that is Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, the King of Kings. The one who was, in fact, entering Jerusalem to save his people, not from Roman rule, but to free them from the bondage and the chains of sin. Brothers and sisters, our joy is found in God, the joy of the Lord that enables us to be content no matter the situation, knowing that our loving Father provides for us. We have joy in knowing that we have been welcomed into God's great family and knowing that our sins have been forgiven because of the joy of the Lord. The joy set before Jesus who endured the cross so that we might be saved. We have great joy because we know how beautiful it is to live with Jesus. I pray that we would always know that joy, that we might always live in that joy, and that by doing so might share that joy with others. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in our joy. Amen.